Lord, we're so thankful that you give us another chance to receive instruction and direction from the Holy Ghost. We welcome the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, to unfold and reveal the plans and the will of God in our lives tonight. Father, open doors and places that we can walk through to glorify your name. I thank you for the men and women that are here, those around the world who locked in by internet. And I thank you that each person will hear, see, and understand what you're saying to us at this moment. We praise you and we honor you and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Remain standing. I'll give you this prophecy that I received while praying for this meeting. If you want to take notes, whatever it is, very short. And then we'll enter into the word. But I want you to remain standing for this prophecy. Get off the fence. Get off the fence. There is a greater day coming. There is a greater day coming. How long have you been on the fence of that situation? Who told you that you had to stay on the fence? You must know that the whole field belonged to you. Now your faith path will get larger and larger, bringing more glory to God and his works. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark Gospel chapter 11. As we talk about the third step of ownership faith, there's some more things that I want to share with you about ownership faith because it's new. It's a revelation that comes from God. It calls faith to operate more fervently. It brings evidence. We're going to look at that in a few moments. But I want you in Mark 11, 12. Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 12. And I want you to understand ownership faith is hearing faith, seeing faith, and understanding faith. It's a faith that can hear God's voice, you can see what God's saying, and it understands what God says is rightfully his or hers or its. So in order to operate in ownership faith, you got to be able to hear in the spirit, you got to be able to see in the spirit, and you have to be able to understand in the spirit. And you can't do that without the Holy Spirit. Okay? So this is a spirit faith. This is the spirit of faith that we're dealing with. Now Jesus illustrated, demonstrated, and revelated this type of faith. You get that down. He illustrated by using it, showing you how it go. Then the demonstration came of how powerful it is. And then when the disciple was able to hear it, then they were able to see it. Then Jesus said, now you're ready. I'm going to reveal it to you. You're going to see all that in what we're about to read. When he cursed that fig tree, they heard it. When they come back, coming back that same way, they saw it. Now Jesus said, now you're ready. You've seen an illustration and a demonstration of ownership faith. You see it? Now, notice here. Let's walk through it. In verse 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, speaking about Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaf, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaf, for the time of fig was not yet. Now notice verse 14. Read verse 14, we'll be ready to read. And Jesus asked and said unto it. Wait a minute, hold up. What he did? Yes. See, ownership faith answers situation that say you can't go no further. It has to be answered. You have to know how to answer things that tell you you're not going to make it. Anybody here?
Yes, sir.
Now, notice what he did. And Jesus answered. Did that tree say something? Yeah, it said something. It said no. It said empty. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Now, I really read verse 14 for you to see that last statement. What the last statement? It's possible that some things are not happening for you because you're not hearing it. If they had not heard, they would not have seen. See, you could be hanging around, just moving around with a scenario, and you're really not hearing. You just got sounds and memory, but you don't have a revelation. You're not really hearing in the spirit. See, they heard it. And I always when I read this, and his disciples heard it. When I didn't know much about faith as a student in the Word, I always was concerned about, but now see, you've got to hear it. Faith come by.
Hear.
So now, here the Spirit of God said to tell me, to tell you, that was an illustration and a demonstration. Then he going to teach them the revelation. Then they're going to walk in full, what? Manifestation, children. Supernatural manifestation. We talked about supernatural stewardship Sunday. Supernatural confidence. Supernatural manifestation. Ownership faith. Release. Supernatural manifestation that can't be stopped. All right, go to verse 20 now. Hearing, seeing, and understanding. Say that with me. Hearing, seeing. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, if you don't understand that parable, you won't understand nothing. That parable was talking about hearing, seeing, and understanding, and knowing that you have the right to operate in all the mysteries of God. In Mark chapter 4. The parable about the soul sowing the seed. Huh? That parable about seeing, hearing, understanding, and manifesting. Seeing, hearing, understanding, and manifesting. Supernaturally. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You know that it belonged to you. You got a promise. You got a revelation from God. You got a scripture God have given you. What? Now in verse 20, see, you can't, if you don't hear, you're not going to be able to go to verse 20. You know why? When you don't hear, you don't know what happened. You don't know how it happened. See, they had to hear to be amazed when they saw it. Problem, I believe, my brothers and sisters, people trying to naturally see something for their spiritual hearing. And they think they're working the Word, but they're really not working the Word because first the Word got to talk to you. You can't go putting the Word out on a situation or on something if the Word have not talked to you yet. See, faith don't work for the deaf. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, see, if you're not hearing it, why you won't go tell it to something else? You really don't believe it because you haven't heard nothing yourself. So you, instead of you having a revelation, you know what you're doing? You're repeating. Come on, talk to me up in here. You just repeating words. You can repeat this book, it don't mean nothing. This book won't mean nothing, just repeating it. But if you heard what you're repeating, you're not repeating no more, you're saying it. You're making a command, you're making a demand, because now you have made that word your word. It's no longer just in this book. It's no longer just Paul's word, John's word, and Solomon's word. It becomes your word. You can put your name in what you're saying, because you understand you heard that word for yourself, and faith came. And in the morning, I'm in verse 20, and in the morning, as they passed by, now underline these two words, they what? What they did first? No, they didn't saw first. Got me talking bad. They didn't saw first. what they did first? Hurry, all right. Now we're talking spiritual. We're talking in another realm. Hearing the voice of God and then seeing the operation of God. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree. They saw it. Underline, they saw. They underline in verse 14, and the disciples heard it. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, a fig tree which thou curtest is withered away. That's what it's supposed to do, right? Amen. Now, it's showing you the power and the anointing that ownership faith carries. See, Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew who the Father was, and he knew the power of faith. He knew that. So, now that they're seeing the fig tree dried up, now he gives them a revelation of ownership faith. Then verse 22, and Jesus answered and said unto them, since you have heard, since you have seen. Now let me give you some understanding how this happened. Have faith in God. That's ownership faith right there. Because God owned everything. How many of y'all believe God owned everything? Huh? All right. And you remember he said all that he had belong to you. All right. Now religion, you're not going to walk in religion. And then he taught him in Mark 11, 23 and 24, how they can activate that same kind of faith. Very, very, I said, who's up to say? See what he did to the tree? Say it. See? Actually, Jesus was putting us in the same category with him in the operation of faith. Right. Amen. I said amen. You see, now you're going to take this in as a revelation. You can't take it in as a writing down or a reading. You got to listen now, because I'm expecting, good God Almighty, I'm expecting you to function deeper in faith, because now you know something. There's some things I'm going to share with you further tonight. So he taught him how to say and how to pray. How to speak faith and how to pray in faith. That Mark 11, 23 is how to say it, and 24 is how to pray it. Faith. Pray in faith. Now, turn to Hebrews 11, 6. I saw something in Hebrews 11 and 6 that need to be spoken now about this ownership faith. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then I said, with faith it's possible to please him, right? In that voice, God, the Holy Spirit, pulled a cover of that voice and showed me what's in that voice that we need to know. Number one, this kind of faith stays in his supernatural presence. You're never alone when you're operating in faith. His supernatural presence is always with you to make it happen. Not only that, In that voice, the Holy Spirit said, tell them, in that voice it has what you call supernatural hope. Supernatural hope. When Abraham was dealing with his situation in Romans chapter 4, he said, move from one hope to another hope. Natural hope to supernatural hope. But in that verse, in Hebrews 11 and 6, the ownership faith reveals supernatural present, supernatural hope. Now, here's another one. Oh, my net, I almost prayed in tongues. There's another one. Now you operate in supernatural evidence. Somebody talk to me here. What I said? Supernatural. Yeah, you have supernatural evidence that can't be stopped. I mean, you don't expect the person standing next to you to see it. When you operate in another realm, everybody's not going to see it. Don't be calling everybody up talking about what you saw. Yeah. Operate in it. When manifestation come, just like with Jesus, the boy heard him talking to that tree. He said, oh, he's talking to a tree. But when they came back, they said, well, what, how you did that? That's what people are going to be asking you. Because you're going to be operating with supernatural evidence. See, in Hebrews 11, 6, it's talking about supernatural evidence. Yeah. Say it, supernatural evidence. Say it again. Supernatural. Say it again. Supernatural. With your natural eyes, you're not seeing nothing. But with your spiritual eyes, you've seen the manifestation of what you spoke to. Supernatural presence, supernatural hope, supernatural evidence, and one more thing. Supernatural seeing. Faith operate in supernatural seeing. You see the results before it manifests. You speak the results before it manifests. Because you're operating in ownership faith. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God who can't fail. Are you still here with me?
Yes,
now, turn to Luke chapter 10. This is a very important thing I'm about to show you that the Holy Spirit showed me a few moments ago. The time you show your thing, you better pull aside the street when he show it to you and get it, because your natural mind will forget it. And this is serious stuff, so you ain't got the time to be talking about, oh, Lord, I forgot it. Luke chapter 10. Now, listen, you will think you're hearing what I'm saying, but you got to hear it. How to lock in on ownership faith while others are busy trying to make things happen. How to lock in on ownership faith while others by faith trying to make things happen. You know it's going to happen. Because here it is, Luke 10. You see it, you shout, verse 38. Now it came to pass that they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary. Now listen to Mary now. Was also set at his feet and heard his word. Two different things happening there. But Martha was coming about much serving. That's where most faith doing now. Just jumping all over the place, same thing. And came to him and said, Lord, does it not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You see it? Come on now, I want you to see this. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are jumping all over the place. Thou careful and troubled about many things. That sounds like the church at Lord's. Careful with faith, they are careful and troubled about many things. But look what he said about Mary. You know what she did? She sat at his feet, right? And heard his word, right? Huh? But one thing is needful. Watch what he says about this. And Mary has chosen that good part. Look at this last statement. what shall not be taken from her. She is grounded and rooted in what I say. That's why your faith got to be grounded and rooted. You can't be second guessing. You can't be letting somebody else talk to you. You can't let a group say this happened to us. We use the same voice. Get out of my face. See, you can't have too many groups up in your faith. Telling you what work, what don't work. When God speaks to you, trust God. So now you see how to lock in the ownership faith, because there's a lot of voices out there telling you, well, I don't believe this. Ain't no such thing as ownership faith. What? You out of your mind. God has come down here and spoken this word to the body of Christ and give us another aspect of governmental faith. Faith that rules. Faith that don't just ask. Faith takes stuff. Stewardship. I talked about stewardship anointing. Because you have to have a stewardship anointing to handle all the manifestation and demonstration from this kind of faith. Yes, you're going to be walking on another level. And some people are going to get angry. They think you got that stuff. But you use that faith properly. And some people are going to be worried. And you're going to be sitting down rocking. You're going to say, why? Why? How can he sit down and rock? Like, he don't know what all going on. Trees falling everywhere. No, I know the blood around Louisiana. Right? Ownership faith already knows how everything going to come out by trusting the source of this kind of faith, who always in charge of everything. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You got your shouting clothes? Hear me well, hear me well, and then I want you to go demonstrate. Hear me well. Here's a statement. Your faith will never be controlled by what's going on in this system no more. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hear me well. I want to impart that in your spirit. Yes. Your faith will never be controlled by what's going on in this system no more. It don't make no difference what's going on. The fig tree dried up, it don't make no difference. And there's no figs on the tree, don't make no difference. I know what to do. Are you still listening? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Praise
His holy name. Now, you listening? Because this is very important what I'm about to say, and it's not Sunday school. This ownership faith, and then I'm gonna aim at something, and I hope you catch it. This is not a commercial faith. No, this is the covenant of faith that must be sealed by conviction. It's not a commercial faith. It's not just flashing and coming on. No. It's a covenant faith. This faith is in divine agreement with God. Divine agreement with Jesus. Divine agreement with the Holy Spirit. Divine agreement with the Word. Divine agreement with the kingdom. It's not a commercial. It's covenant. It has divine backup. It has increase in every scene. You hear it?
Yes, sir.
Say, my faith is changing.
My faith is changing.
This ownership faith is a faith that is stabilized by the anointing of wisdom. Remember what he said? When he said, count it all joy and you're filled in various trials, 10 temptations, James 1, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work patient, James 1. But he says, if any man, James 1, 5, says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. See, faith, this kind of faith works by wisdom. Wisdom turns a light on that you can see your next step in the dark. Thank you. walking in the dark, attack, look like you're not going to ever get back, but yet you see where you're going. So therefore, you don't walk where you are. You walk by faith and not by sight. You walk where you're going. Faith always carry you where you're going. So while you're walking, when you see other obstacles, it doesn't mean nothing to you because you're already where you're going. Now, Satan messing with leftovers because you already have gotten to the table. He messing with leftovers. He can't frighten you because you already know that your God can't let you down, that if God said it, it's good. I own this. When I hear, when I see, when I understand the lesson that Jesus taught me, I own what I'm believing for. From this night forward, you will be a manifester. And you're going to manifest and manifest. And somebody going to ask you what you're doing, and you're going to manifest. Because you know all things are yours. Sit down, let me say this again. Faith that is stabilized by the anointing of wisdom. Here's another thing I want you to know about it. Faith that is supernaturally organized to God's will and plan that cannot be stopped. It's supernatural. Have faith in God. It's supernatural organized to the will and plan, to God's will and plan that cannot be stopped. Can you see it? You still looking or you see it? Turn to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I talked about the crow on the eagle back Sunday. When you walk in this kind of faith, crows gonna jump on your back because they can't get the revelation and they're gonna be picking on your neck, but don't worry about them, just keep going up. You're finally gonna get the altitude that that crow can't breathe. You're going to choke and die, and you keep flying. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I know some of y'all, you ever had a crow on your back?
Yes,
people talking about you, mad with you, criticizing your faith. Y'all go to that church, y'all believe all that? Yeah, I believe it. Look at an Isaiah 431. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I got a statement I want to make about this. Ownership faith will cause you to walk, run, and fly. Walk by faith, run by faith, and fly by faith. Walk by faith, run by faith, and fly by faith. When you're operating in faith, you can't keep walking. You're finally going to start running. You finally, you can't keep running. You're finally going to start flying. Above situation, above thing that tell you you can't go no further. That's what faith is designed for. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Very important. Ownership faith means that I belong to Him. And I honor Him, and all that I will ever have belong to Him. He know, and I know. My life is to glorify Him. My life is not just about me. My life is about Him. My life is revealing Him, what a good God He is. My life is revealing His word, revealing His spirit, revealing His authority. My life. Hmm. Love is the ankle. I said ankle of ownership faith. You know, like drop my ankle. You might think I'm thinking about the ankle on your feet the way I talk, you know. But it love stabilize ownership faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, and say hallelujah. I'm just trying to open your spirit up. Glory to God. We understood teaching on ownership faith. I said to the church in Chicago, it's a revelation. I had preached it here first, so I could preach it full time, but it never come out the same. I'm preaching different revelation God given me on it. It's about the fourth hour this message had been taught. Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. With ownership, faith, wisdom, there's a scepter. May the Lord point that scepter at your life tonight. May the Lord point that scepter at your faith tonight. The same scepter he pointed at the Lord Jesus Christ is pointed at those who operate in the word. Not only that, it has a rod. Not only that, it has a staff. Scepter, rod, and staff. Say it. Scepter, rod, and staff is with my faith. God's scepter, God's rod, God's staff. He is with my faith. Look at Psalm 23:4. Psalm 23:4. See, all of these things, you have to girdle those things around your faith. Yea, do I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Sam, see now, put your faith in that place. See, knowing that your faith is anointed with a scepter, a rod, and a staff to cause it to happen from God. See the staff in God's hand. See the scepter in God's hand. See the rod in God's hand. See the staff in God's hand. Working with your faith. Rearranging things just because you said it. Oh, sucking up. Huh? I feel the Holy Ghost. Yeah. This threefold anointing that the Lord is imparting to you tonight. His scepter, his rod, and his staff. You can go anywhere now in life. You can go back to any situation you were dealing with, knowing that you have God's scepter on your feet, God's rod on your feet, and God's staff on your feet. Anointed. Good God Almighty. I think it's 1 Samuel 17. I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to make a statement here because there are sometimes Goliaths rise up against our faith. And it looks so big, look like it can't happen. There's some previews. That God is giving you, and you think he's showing you the other person, but he's showing you where you should be. Faith, there are faith previews you have seen, and you cast it out of your mind. Go back and grab it, God. The scepter is pointed at your faith. The rod is pointed at your faith. The staff is covering your faith. How can Satan, how can this system, how can any situation stop you from getting where you're going? Goliath is what I wrote for you. David knew he had ownership faith over Goliath. David had seen advertisement from God with a bear and a lion. David knew he couldn't whoop that bear, but for some revelatory reason, he whooped that bear. David knew he couldn't whoop that lion. I received your seed. Knew he couldn't whoop that lion with $1,000 check. Knew he couldn't whoop that lion, but he had power over that lion. So David, by faith, when he saw Goliath coming, he said, I'm going to take your head on. Not by a sword or a shield, but in the name of God. He took him down. Oh, yeah, he cut his head off with his own sword. And so you have to know that you are, I'm about to say something to you now. I hope you are a powerful being. Anybody connected with God, and even just trying to stay connected, you are a powerful being. You remember I dealt with sonship faith? How many of y'all remember that? And I probably had to go back to it and deal with it some more. But I want to talk a few minutes from that Galatians chapter 4. I want to talk a few minutes from there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Every time your faith moves, now you know you got three back up. The scepter, the rod, and the staff. You never heard that before. In ownership faith, Peter talks about it. You operate as a king. You operate as a priest. You release your raw priesthood in the midst of adversity, in the midst of people who don't know who they are. You walk around knowing who you are, not high-minded, but high placed. See? Sunday school faith got to leave the church. I have a series I'm going to teach on maturing in faith. It says in Hebrews 6, we got to move from just having faith toward God. We got to now have faith in God. And we got to now have the faith of God. Good God Almighty. You personally. Don't always look at the other person in faith talking about how, they love God. No, I love God too. Don't be watching television admiring everybody. Ooh, look what they got. Look at that. Football. Don't do that. And no football player live no better than I live. None of them. Matter of fact, none of them richer than I am. Because I got a connection. I got money and a connection. Their contract might run out. Mine will never run out. Now, I'm talking to you. When you receive it tonight, I'm talking to everybody online. I'm talking to you right now. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about God. And you got the same God I got. So get ready to move. Get ready for a greater dimension in your life. Get ready to bless people. You'll be able to bless people around you more. Pay somebody else's house off. Not only going to pay your house off, but you're going to pay somebody else's house off.
Connection seed.
Yeah, I received this. It's a connection seed. It's $100. Yes, you got on your connection seed. So, see, you got to get to the point. You hooked up with this ministry. This ministry was designed to teach the body of Christ prosperity. Some people, you know, for the lay hand on people. But my job is, when he gave me money coming 20 years ago, is to teach you money prosperity. Your inheritance is in ownership faith, take it by the force of faith that cannot be stopped. Your inheritance, listen to me. But there's an element of maturing. And I've seen over these 48 years, the church, say for instance, the first black judge in this era grew with me from Sunday school to lawyer school and asked me as a rookie preacher, can I still be a Christian and be a lawyer? My answer was, yes, but it's not going to be easy. He went to be a lawyer, and he's the first black judge in this area. And he's my first cousin. You understand? You start off walking, but if you walk with the right people, they will drag you. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm dragging you. Dragging you into another dimension beyond just church life. To know God wants you blessed abundantly so you can be a sign to sinners that you serve a good God. It's not your blessing, not all about you. Your blessing is all about God, about Jesus dying on the cross. He paid for it. So turn to Galatians, let me just grow up. Tell the person that you grow up. No, say it kind of mean, grow up. Tell them, grow yourself up. When you stop just carrying the Bible and the Bible start carrying you, baby, you're going to be in another land. Write that down. I want you to write that down. Because the Bible is designed to carry you, not for you to carry it. Man. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me show you one of the hindrances to ownership faith. Galatians, you there? Galatians 4, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, one of the hindrances. Because there's three elements in ownership faith. Your calling, your inheritance, and your power all be released at the same time. Your calling. You are called to be blessed. You are called to operate on another level. Don't let the system tell you. You don't have to be no football player to be blessed. Shoot, what's the matter with y'all? The stadium belong to God.
Yes, sir.
You his child, right?
Yes, sir.
Throughout the scriptures, God wants his children to elevate. He wants his children to be blessed. He wants his children to wear his name properly. You can't do it in religion. You can't do it in routine. You can't do it in reasoning. You can't do it through rituals. You got to walk in revelation, children. Tonight, I want you to leave here in revelation of who you really are. Every now and then, feel that scepter on your shoulder. Feel that rod on your shoulder. Feel it. Because it's there, supernaturally. We're not talking physical. We're talking spiritual. We're talking supernatural. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, you are an heir. Your faith is an heir of God's grace. In other words, tonight, the Holy Ghost, you want to hear the rest?
Yes, sir.
Is covering your faith with favor. Write that down. Woo, my God. Every time your faith get enough favor, I'm going to stand up with it. See, grace is favor. See, faith is never the future. Faith do not walk by sight. Faith operate in ownership. When I say it, it's mine. By divine inspiration and illumination of the Holy Ghost, I speak. So you don't just say something. You spend time with God until you hear it. You see it. Then you say it. You hear it, see it, understand it, then say it. Then you don't have to do it. I'm fully persuaded. What he had promised, he also will perform. He was not weak in faith, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what we're talking about. We're in Romans 4 now. He was not weak in faith. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he also was able to perform. Somebody listening? Somebody believing for something? All right, you heard it. He's able to perform it. Don't let your outside mind interrupt your inside mind. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Anybody online say glory to God? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I remember, again, I was in Chicago and I made a statement, and I'm going to make it here. Tonight, I'm here to take the mask off your faith. There's been a mask on our faith. There have been a mask on our faith for years and years. We're going around saying the same thing, doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? No. When the mask come off your faith, then your faith see the supernatural. I felt that it's just going out. See, the mask tonight, the mask is taken off of your faith. And now you smell and see the supernatural. Tonight, the supernatural become contagious to you. Your atmosphere is polluted with the supernatural. Glory to God. You better say something. The Lord speaking, my God, everywhere you go, things are going to start happening. Before you say anything, just your presence, things are going to start happening. Good things are going to start happening to others around you. Just because they're around you, something going to come off you and get on them. This is our greatest hour. Darkness trying to get darker, but the light getting brighter. You have nothing to worry about. Some more stuff going to come out. Shout the victory. Don't be on the fence. Be in the field. It's already yours. Nobody can lock you out. Nobody can stop you. He said, no plague shall come around. No plague shall come now. Why? I got an angel watching over your house. Angels watching over everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, I'm sending an angel to protect you. Don't you worry about a thing. Walk by faith. Don't walk by the news meter. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Walk like you're on it, because you do on it. It's the church hour to shine. It's a church hour. It's a new government taking over. The glory of God is taking over. God just looking for somebody to say, I can take Goliath's head off. I can go in the fire furnace. I'm not going to be burned. And the lion can't eat me up. And the Red Sea cannot stop me. The Red Sea wasn't about the Red Sea. The Red Sea was telling you when a big thing come up and look like it's stopping you from crossing, that God can open a way out of nowhere. Walk by. by faith, not by sight. It takes faith to claim your inheritance. Your inheritance already been named. Jesus said, "The thief come not steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you might have life, and you might have a little bit abundant." No, you agree with that? See, you shouldn't agree with that. You don't agree with abundance. See, because what he's talking about, what John 10:10 is talking about, is Ephesians 3:20. Ooh, Lord. And notice the first word in Ephesians 3:20. What's the first word?
Now.
What's the first word in Hebrews 11:1?
Now.
Everybody waiting to get to heaven. He said, "Now, you don't need no abundant life in heaven. Heaven too big for abundant life. Down here, abundant life down here don't look like no abundant life in heaven. So so abundant life is down here." I don't care what you have there. I don't care what you own. I don't care what you drive. I don't care what you're flying. I don't care. That ain't no abundant life in heaven.
Yes,
Christ. Pearly gates.
Yes.
Walking on gold.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you can't bring this little stuff up to heaven. Somebody, ooh, look what I got. Shit. Like Smith Wigglesworth told Lester Semeraud. Lester Semeraud had a newspaper on his arm. Went to visit Smith. Smith said, "What's that you got on your arm?" He said, "Newspaper. You can't come in here with that. Put it down." That's how minute. It's abundant life. When Jesus said, "I come that you have life, might have more abundant," he's talking about right now. Look, let me tell you something. Every level your pastor go to, he leaves the door open. I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't do that. Because I know I have somebody following me. And I'm responsible for the persons that are following me to make sure they can see their way. Now, if you don't go, it's up to you, but I have to make sure when I come up here, I'm not coming here playing no game. I got to say something to show you how to get where you're going. Genesis chapter 12. It's a transaction going on every time, especially if a person anointed. I talked to my ministers today. I don't know how many was online there, Roy. About 113 ministers today. And I told them, and I'm doing it right now, you can't go by no pattern. You sometime at the spur of the moment, the Lord tell you to do something. Sometime it means that nobody gonna get a chance to sing. Nobody gonna read no scriptures. You just do what the Lord tell you to do. People get excited when the Spirit is moving. You can't tell me the Spirit is moving in a normal pattern. He don't move in rituals. He moves in revelation. Now, I was just inspired by the Holy Ghost, those doing the sound of my voice. This verse, these three verses, now I might not get to the other one, in Isaiah 45:1-3. Certain people wear certain anointing. In Genesis 12:1-3, I want you to meditate those verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." So it's a lot of time kinfolk block you from getting where God wants you to get.
Amen.
Look what he said in the second verse. I want you to listen. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now, I have a prophecy in my iPad on money coming years before it came that said the same thing. The man and his wife who prophesied to me, I'm not going to read that, but that prophet, and I just found out, standing up here. That prophet is saying the same thing that God said to Abram. Because in that prophet he says, God's going to bless you swiftly, like you've never seen before. But now tonight, I'm seeing he didn't just bless me for me to be blessed. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. My name is known all over the world. God did it. He told me ahead of time. I said, what you going to do in Darrell? I got a big church, want me to pastor. And the people out there by Southern University, and he come in my, God come in my office and told me to stay here. I said, Lord, I really thought, I've been studying and praying, I really thought you were going to use me. He said, I'm going to do it here. I'm going to send them from the east to west, north and south, bomb cars, put gas in, and be glad to drive. He did it. He did it. He's doing it now. People are constantly joining online now. I opened it up for membership online because I know what's going on now. You got to find a church that's moving right now, partner. That really, really, yeah, oh yeah, you can't be going to them richer. Now notice verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curses thee, and in thee all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. You say, you're going to tell me that you have the same anointing on you that Abraham had? No, I'm not going to tell you. I told you. It's there for a reason. It's nothing about me. The inadequacies and the insufficiency, but yet I yield to him, and he wanted the body of Christ to step up. Many of y'all have stepped up since you've been here. Then Isaiah 45, 1, 2, 3, there's a certain anointing that causes silver and gold to move. Are you hearing me? Listen, children. This is not a normal night for you. You're not in a normal church. I'm just telling you, because it's all God. I'm just following him. I'm feeding. Throughout the day, I'm feeding on him. And he's doing all this. So I want you to look at those two scriptures. Look at Isaiah 45. God do anoint men for certain things. So your tithes and your offering, your gifts, must multiply swiftly. Because God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. My word will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I sent it out to do. I'm fully persuaded. I'm going to say something that I know a critic going to holler. I'm fully persuaded there's millionaires sitting in here. I don't care what you've seen. I'm fully persuaded. And it's not for the money. It's not for the show. It's just a flow. But I'm fully persuaded. I mean, nobody in your family. And you don't have to go after it. You don't have to go after it, baby. You don't have to go after it. God put money in a fish mouth, didn't he? All you got to do is have enough nerve to do what he tell you to do. You know, he told Philip, who that boy was, what that boy's name was, with that fish, Peter? Peter, yeah, he told him, go cast a hook in the water. The first fish you catch, open his mouth, going to be a piece of money. Sheesh, I'm going to the house. This man gone out of his mind. I ain't following him no more. He a lunatic. And Peter was a professional fisherman and had opened thousand fish mouth, never had no money in it. I mean, that make it more. See, if it was a regular person who'd never been fishing, that's one thing. But here's a man who know about fishing, and he used that to see what he trusted. And when he caught, he said, you don't have to go fishing.
That's right.
You don't have to go fishing. See, we've been fishing. No, he said, the first fish that come up, I want you to open his mouth and you're going to find a piece of money to pay all our bills. Not just my bill, or your bill. All right? All right, come on, Leroy, because I just received the offer, and I just want to talk to you a few minutes since that anointing came on me. It got to happen. And it's not going to happen by your salary. It's not going to happen by your job. Your job is a place to get seed. And may meet some of your needs. But the abundant life comes by revelation. All right? Lift your hand and praise God. Clap your hand. Shout hallelujah. All right. All right, let's see. All right.